purpose of the website, the reading tonight was from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 18. Our theme here in Shiloh at 6:30, why pray when you can worry, has so far enabled us to ask, why pray when you can worry about the future, about dying, and about debt? And each of these is a real life issue which affects so many people, causing great anxiety or intense worry in people's lives. And the preacher Charles Spurgeon said, anxiety or worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. Anxiety or being worried sick does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. Or to put it another way, worry doesn't solve anything. Which is why Jesus said, do not worry about anything. But I can almost hear people saying exactly what I said when I read the words that Jesus says, do not worry about anything. I can hear you saying, you know what, Jesus, it's easier said than done. It's easier said than done. And yet Jesus wouldn't have told us not to worry about anything if it wasn't possible to live this way. In other words, there is an alternative to worrying. I read this quote during the week. Worrying can affect your daily life so much that it interferes with your appetite, lifestyle habits, relationships, sleep, and job performance. Many people who worry excessively are so anxiety-ridden that they seek relief in harmful lifestyle habits such as overeating, cigarette smoking, or using alcohol and drugs. Which brings me to the next topic of our theme. Why pray when you can worry about drugs? When you think of drugs, what do you think of? For the purpose of the tape, shout out a few drugs. When you think of drugs, what do you think of? Cannabis, marijuana,
heroin,
cocaine, speed. So we've got an idea that we know we're not talking about Smarties. Now let me ask another question. How many people here tonight know someone who has died as a result of drugs? And just for the purpose of the CD and the website, almost everyone in the hall has put their hand up. In fact, for those who didn't hear this morning, Gary Crossan, who used to come to Shiloh, former partner of Irene and father of Phoebe, was found dead on Monday night. And Gary had come along to this fellowship. He had made a confession, knew Jesus as his Lord, and was baptized here. And very sadly, the news came through that he was found dead on Monday night. So again, people here now know someone else who has died. I've worked in drug rehabs in different parts of the world, and I've been involved in drug culture and working with dealing with addiction for the past 30 odd years. I've seen many people die as a result of drugs. I've taken the funerals of many people who have died as a result of drugs. And I see many people's lives and families devastated because of drugs. So if I told you tonight that someone you knew and loved was using heroin or crystal meth or crack cocaine or maybe methamphetamine, if I told you that someone that you knew and loved was using one of these drugs, would you immediately think, oh my goodness, if I don't get him or her help, they're going to die? You see, people freak out when they hear about certain scary drugs, and yet they view others as less harmful. But did you know, for example, each year in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, approximately 2,000 people die each year as a result of all of the illegal drugs and illicit drugs and the misuse of prescription drugs? Approximately 2,000 people die each year in the United Kingdom from those. However, in the same period, 20,000 will die from alcohol, and 110,000 will die from smoking related illnesses. And so if you're going to worry about drugs, worry about the dangerous ones, but be careful that your worrying doesn't drive you to drugs. You know, many people who worry excessively are so anxiety ridden that they seek relief in harmful lifestyle habits such as overeating, cigarette smoking, or using alcohol and drugs. So why do people use drugs? Well, because of the 30 years that I've been involved in helping people and 10 years that I'm involved using them, the answer is always found with the letter P. There are 7 words that describe why people use drugs, and there is only 7 words in all the world and all the vocabulary, and they all begin with the letter P for why people use Presbyterianism, Pentecostalism, Protestantism. Joking aside, it's not those. So why do people use drugs? Well, the obvious one that begins with P is pleasure. Do you seriously think that the millions of people who use drugs all the time right across the world use them because they're absolutely terrible? They use them because they want pleasure. Like that video that we saw earlier on the thing where they want that buzz in their heads. They want to enjoy that pleasure. They want to get high. Nobody seriously goes out on a Friday and a Saturday night to Bangor, to Calico Jacks, or wherever it is they go and say, I'm going out here tonight, I might buy some drugs, have a bit of a party and just die. With a smile on their face. They don't think like that. They go out seeking pleasure. But very often, the pleasure disappears very quickly and it's no longer pleasurable. And the drug culture is a bit like a spider's web. You get into it at first and you dance about and think, oh, this is really good. This is really good. Until you find yourself, this is getting sticky. It's getting a bit difficult. And then you see the spider coming. And suddenly, when you realize, I don't like this anymore, the more you struggle to get out, the more entangled you become. It's no longer pleasurable. The second P for why people use drugs is peer pressure, or if you're a wee bit older, it's peer preference. Young people get pressurized in this day and age by their friends to take drugs. I remember I used to never sniff glue. I hated the stuff. I would have taken any other drug going, but I would never sniff glue until one day I had no drugs left and I watched 2 of my friends cracking open a tin of Evo Stick and sniffing and seeing them really enjoying themselves, and they kept saying, go try it, try it, try it. And I caved in and finished up having to use 2 pints of Evo Stick every night of the week. That was on top of all of the other drugs that I took. Peer pressure, the people that you run about with, the people that you choose if you're a wee bit older, because you say, why, nobody pressures me to do it. It's peer preference. The people that you prefer to run about with are using drugs, and before you know it, you go down that road as well. So that's the second P of why people use drugs. The third one is what we're talking about here. Worry. But under the letter P, it's present stress. People get stressed out about bills. People get stressed out about life. People get stressed out about broken relationships, stressed out about all of the different difficulties in life that they face. And before you know it, they're hitting the drink or they're taking drugs. They're wanting to get a wee high. They're wanting to feel better. They're wanting to get that dopamine in their mind or in their head that gives them that sense that everything is okay. But the present stress, and it's interesting that we know when we're doing drugs counseling, throughout the year, that our numbers will increase where young people are concerned around about April and May, because young people are so under pressure and stress to do well in their exams that some of them are necking A's and different things and snorting coke to stay awake at night so that they can do their studying. And as soon as they've got it all done, they're on a come down trying to think, I can't manage this anymore. The fourth reason why people use drugs is psychological. People have complex personality issues. I used to get blocked, as Paula, you could remember in the White Hill Disco, I used to get blocked to be able to ask my mate to go and say, would you ask her out for me? I couldn't have handled the rejection if she'd have said no. So I had to get drunk to ask my mate to go and ask her out. And if she told him where to go, well, it wasn't as hurtful. People have psychological problems. Some people have terrible things happen in their lives that they can't cope with, and so they take drugs. The fifth reason why people use is pain. People I know will buy cannabis because they're suffering from multiple sclerosis and other ailments, and it actually helps them. And the law in the land says it's illegal, so they can't get it, but they've got to go into the black market to get that to help alleviate pain. That's one of the reasons, but it could also be deeper pain in people's lives, masking emotional pain. They use the drug, as they say, medicinally. And then, of course, you get parental attitude. Again, this is for young people. You get parents who are overly strict, and they have every restriction put on their child to prevent their child from doing anything. And the first opportunity that their child gets, they're out there taking drugs. Or you get the other side of the coin, and it must be so difficult to be a parent. The other side of the coin is you get the parent who says to their child, there's a tenner away down the town now, and stay you out of trouble. And they've no idea that they're down buying a 10 deal. The parental attitude is either they're too strict or they're too lenient, and you've got to try to find that happy balance. And the last reason, beginning with P, of why people use drugs is parental role model. They've learned it at home. Now, I'll touch these very, very quickly in a moment, but these are the only reasons why people use drugs. And I said, I've worked in different countries and worked with drug addicts from every nationality. And when you talk to them all and when you're doing counselling with everyone, I'll put down those P's. And every one of them will say that's them. And nobody ever comes up with any other. And in fact, if you do come up with any other, I'll make sure it fits under one of those P's. But the problem with drugs, unless properly prescribed and administered, or others used moderately, they quickly tend to enslave those who partake of them. I know hundreds of people who say cannabis isn't addictive until they can't get any. Well, as soon as they hear there's a drought, what do you mean there's a drought? Oh, how am I going to get to sleep tonight? Be sure you say it's not addictive. Oh, I'm not addicted to it, I just need some. When we speak about addiction, and I use this in a counselling situation very often, when we speak about addiction, we could replace the word addiction with enslavement. People become enslaved to drugs. Nicotine. You're a slave to nicotine. Heroin. Alcohol. Caffeine. Overeating or undereating, all of these things become addictions and you become enslaved. Exercise. When we worked in drug rehabs in Scotland, for example, we had four stories in the building and we could not allow the boys to be running up and down the stairs and keeping fit. These were guys coming off heroin and loads of other drugs. They were not allowed to run up and down the stairs because what they were doing was transferring their addiction. Where they couldn't get the hit from heroin, they were doing exercise and burning themselves out and getting this dopamine rush to try to manage their addiction. And even though it looked like a better quality of life, it wasn't dealing with addiction. A person's drug is that which they offer themselves to and become enslaved by. Which is why the apostle warns, Paul the apostle warns, do not offer yourself or your members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Why? Because you become a slave to that which you offer yourself to. And I know he's speaking here to believers.
And he's telling them not to become enslaved again to the things from which Jesus had set them free. And just like Jesus' alternative to worrying about the future and worrying about dying and worrying about death, his alternative to worrying about drugs only applies to believers. It won't work for an unbeliever, because an unbeliever doesn't know Jesus. As Denise was showing us, they don't have that dependency upon God. Why does Jesus' alternative not apply to everyone? Because an unbeliever is already a slave to sin, just as the Christian once was. Without Jesus, the unbeliever is not and cannot be freed from the slavery of sin and its consequences. And although there are many services out there to help with addiction, there is only one remedy for enslavement to sin, and that is Jesus. However, because of Jesus, the Christian who is freed from the slavery of sin and death can now offer themselves and their bodies to God as instruments of righteousness for his service and for his glory. An unbeliever can't do that. An unbeliever is dead to God. The Christian is no longer a slave to sin, even though Satan tries to make them believe they still are. And they may still have plenty of problems in their life, like Gary that I spoke about this morning and mentioned here just earlier this evening. Gary had problems. Glasgow Allen, that used to visit us on a regular basis, was a heroin addict. But he knew and he loved Jesus, and he couldn't overcome his addiction, and he died. I buried another Christian man recently who was addicted to alcohol. He died not able to overcome that addiction. Whether that was because he didn't rely completely and depend completely upon God, I don't know. It's not my place to pass judgment. But I know that the enemy would have been at work in his mind and in the minds of so many others, trying to convince them that they were still slaves to sin when they were not. Through faith in Jesus, the Christian has been set free from the slavery of sin. Sin can no longer have dominion over them. We who were once slaves to sin because of Jesus have been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. We have to make sure, and this is where there is a responsibility with us, we have to make sure that we continually offer or present ourselves to God for his glory, so that we can be continually being set free from the enslavements of addiction. Why pray when you can worry about drugs? Many people who worry excessively are so anxiety-ridden that they seek relief in harmful lifestyle habits such as overeating, cigarette smoking, or using alcohol and drugs. The most harmful lifestyle habit any person can live with. The most awful addiction or enslavement known to mankind is a person willingly feeding their habit of unbelief in God. You see, that addiction, where a person offers themselves to unbelief, will keep that individual enslaved to sin, not only in this life, but for all eternity. Does your addiction or addiction to sin, does it offer you pleasure? All the pleasures of the world are out there. Jesus says the world and its pleasures are temporal. They're passing away. Do your friends, the people that you choose to run about with, do they mock you? Do they make fun of you? Do you feel pressurized at the thought of saying to him, I would love to be a Christian, but I'm scared of what my friends might think. I would love to give up this lifestyle, but I'm afraid of what my friends or family might say. Can your friends or family raise you from the dead? Jesus can. Are you suffering at this present time with stress? Is the present stress in your life so much that you're at your wit's end and you're looking for answers and you're trying all over the place to find answers to all of your life's problems? Jesus said this, come on to me first. Come to me, confess your sin, come to me and I will give you rest. It's not come to Jesus and he'll sort your problems out. It's come to Jesus and receive forgiveness of sins and be put right with God and then let God's purpose be outworked in your life that will address the issues as you keep offering yourself continually to God and offering your members as instruments of righteousness for the glory of God. Maybe tonight you have psychological issues. You've got complex needs that we don't know anything about and don't need to know anything about, but God knows. And God is a restorer of souls. Maybe you've got an addiction tonight and you're justifying that addiction because of pain. Whether it is physical pain, whether it is emotional pain, whatever it is, you need to know tonight that God is a healer. And he can heal that pain. Parental attitude really doesn't come into play here tonight because the vast majority of us here, I don't think, would allow our parents to dictate. But the bottom line is, for each of us, as far as Jesus is concerned, nobody can pressurize us into a yea or a nay. We must decide for ourselves about Jesus. And let me tell you, if you're following a parental role model, just remember this, that very often it's a case of the blind leading the blind. Can you afford to take that risk? If you want to avail of Jesus' alternative to worrying about drugs, you need to offer yourself to him and become a slave of righteousness. Why? Because God's word says this, whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, thank you that we can look at the reasons why people use drugs, whatever drug of choice they may have. Thank you that we can look at those reasons and realize that all of those reasons just simply speak of our lack of dependence upon you. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would help us as Christians to continually offer ourselves to you as instruments, Lord, of righteousness for your glory in your service, O God. That we would no longer, Lord God, want to be enslaved to the things from which Christ has set us free. But Lord, for those of us who are Christians and still suffer with addiction issues, we pray that you would be continually setting us free. That we would see the chains being broken and falling from us, and that we could give you all the glory for each of the victories that you bless us with. For anyone tonight, Lord, experiencing addiction who doesn't know you, help them to see, Father, that to get the alternative of which Jesus speaks about, that alternative to worrying about addiction, that alternative to enslavement to sin, that they need to humble themselves and come to you and ask you, Lord God, to set them free through faith in Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, we do pray for the communities around about us, knowing that the scourge of drugs is in every area, Lord God. And we pray, Father, please, that you would set the captives free. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.